some very interesting things about the laws of tefillin. Rabbi said, everything I'm telling you today comes from this sefer called Simchas HaLevavos. We use this many times. Simchas HaLevavos by Rav Simcha Halevi Hollander. I don't know who he is. This is the second volume in his series. We use this sefer and the other sefer many times, and we've never gone through the section. We spoke about tefillin many times, but in this sefer he has a section on tefillin, and we've never covered the material that he presents here. And I'd like to spend some time going through some of the ideas that he presents. Some very fascinating things. You know, like I told you in my extreme gaiva that I knew it all. When I open up the sefer, I'm extremely humbled to realize I don't even know the aleph base, even the koytzer shel yud. Okay, let's discuss. I just took to a random chapter I started with in tefillin. Let's discuss the tefillin of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Out of curiosity, is there anyone here who puts on Rabbeinu Tam every day?
Yeah. Mayor.
Who? Mayor. Ooh, Rav Meir puts on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Mamish, Kaddish. Okay. I always tell you, someone told this to me many years ago. He said to me, and he's right. A fellow said this to me, an older person said this to me many years ago, and he said to me, you should put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin at least once in your life. Even though you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam, and Eino Chinami, the Chazonish did not wear Rabbeinu Tam. He has a whole long list of people who did not. The Brisker Rav did not wear Rabbeinu Tam.
Did not.
The Chazonish did not. The Brisker Rav did not. The Litvish Olam does not wear Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, it is the custom of all the Litvish Olam not, the Dafka, not to wear Rabbeinu Tam. No, the Gross says not to. The Gross says that he did not to, yet it's one of the very strange things that he points out in this Sefer. Is that the Talmidim of the Gra all did. And in Eretz Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim, which is by and large Kuloi Minogra, Yerushalayim, they dominate. I know today it's a melting pot in Yerushalayim, so it's not the same like it used to be. But by and large, Yerushalayim at least used to be Mamish pure Minhog Gra. The minig is to wear Rabbeinu Tam. Not everyone, but it's very, very common. Maybe even 50%, maybe even more in Yerushalayim. But the people who live in Yerushalayim,
the ger is a lot put on.
The Chassidim, no. We're not talking about Chassidim. Chassidim wear vaday. They wear the Chassidim. They wear when either some. There are different minhagim among different groups. And some groups they wear when they get married. There are some groups of Chassidim that wear when you bar mitzvah. And there are some groups that you don't wear until the Rebbe tells you. It's time to put on Rabbeinu Tam. You have to get the command. You have to get the tzivui, which can mean you can be married for 20 years until the Rebbe, you come to the Rebbe, until the Rebbe tells you, oh, the time is right, now it's time. Every Hasidus has a different custom as to when you begin to put on Rabbeinu Tam. That's by the Hasidim. But by the Litvish Olam, the pure Litvaks do not. The mystery, that's one of the very interesting things on the Sefer. It's a big, big mystery because the Gra is clear that you do not. I write you over here. V'chei noitim l'halach l'maisa kol halitoim. Halitoim. V'dev ikar l'halach hu kirashi. Kidehichriya rabenu hagro. Uchadukosav maran hagoin of Moshe Feinstein. Dikvar nifsak v'nispashe deloik rabenu tam. Ad kedei kach of Moshe writes that even if Eliyahu Hanavi would come today and tell us that the halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam is right. You should write the tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam. We wouldn't listen to him. We would tell Eliyahu Hanavi, "We're sorry, you must be mistaken. You must." That's what we would say to him. The Gemara says it's beferish. Afilu Eliyahu, when it comes to chalitza. The shoe, the strap, how will you do chalitza with a minol, a sandal? Even if Eliyahu Hanavi would come and would tell us what to do, we would tell him, we are sorry, you are mistaken. Shekvar nohagu. This is the custom.
You can say it by a lover.
Exactly. And Rav Moshe says, one of the things that you say this by is tefillin. the halacha is, the ikar is Rashi. If Eliyo Hanavi would come and tell us, you're all wrong, the ikar is like Rabbeinu Tam, he really knows Pshat in the Machlokes. The Shaila is how you read it with Gemara. We're not going to do the Gemara now. So question is a little piece of Gemara, Masechta Menachos, and there are different ways to translate the Gemara, and depending on how you translate the Gemara, it will be an afkamina in how the order of the parashios. Is it Kaddish, V'chaya ki yiviyacha Shema, V'chaya im Shemaya, that is Rashi, or is it like Rabbeinu Tam, Kaddish V'chaya ki yiviyacha, and then we reverse. First, V'chaya im Shemaya, and then Shema. Shema is a question, how to read a Pshat in the Gemara. Rashi learns Pshat one way, Rabbeinu Tam has another interpretation of the Gemara. So Leo Levi will tell us that the Rabbeinu Tam, he knows how to learn better than Rashi. Sorry, the minhag is to follow Rashi, and that's the Gemara as well. Yet, it's a mystery. Why then did the Talmidim of the Gra, do we find them? I don't know all their names. This goes back already. This goes back a few hundred years. But we know who the Talmidim are. We know that his main Talmidim did with Rabbeinu Tam. And we do see that today it's Nispashet in Yerushalayim, which is the stronghold of the Minhage HaGra to wear Rabbeinu Tam Tzilin. Mystery.
Is this the only instance where we, in order to accommodate another Yushan Tzipsa,
is this the only instance? No. In fact, the Mishnah, you're touching upon something that's very interesting. You know, Mishnah Berurah. We today are heavily influenced by the Mishnah Berurah, which is something that's new. Because go back even 50 years ago, the Mishnah Berurah was obscure.
Right.
It was not a popular limud. We follow the Chaya Adam, followed the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is very novel in his Pesukei Halacha, and the Mishnah Berurah was not a major player. Sorry to tell you, he was not a major player in Halacha. Today, the tide has changed. All the Bnei Torah, it's only Mishnah Berurah. Ad Kedei Kach, people don't even know there's a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And when they do things in Halacha, where does this come from? It's not in the Mishnah Berurah. It's not in the Dirshu notes. So where does it come from? They don't even realize it's in the Kitzur. It's in the Chaya Adam. That's how it is. Now, what you're saying is very, because there's something very unique about the Mishnah Berurah that he does that no one else does. The Mishnah Berurah has this tendency, and almost an obsession, is to accommodate as many opinions as possible. Right. If you can do something in a strange way, which will accommodate this shita and this shita and this shita, then do it in that way. You'll get in many opinions.
That's confusing.
That's confusing, and many of the other Paiskim, contemporaries of the Mishnah Berurah, don't follow that approach to halacha. Their approach is, you take one shita, that's it.
That's what we have
for
to know.
For better or for worse, don't attempt to dilute, to accommodate.
Right, right.
Because the more you try to accommodate, the more you dilute, the more you weaken the myth. That's not the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, you'll see over and over in the Mishnah Berurah, how he tries very hard. Some say like this, some say like this.
Yeah.
Parsha Zohar, okay? Some say it's Zohar, some say it's Zecher. So you know what? So we'll read it both. We'll accommodate everyone, we'll read the Pasuk twice. You should know some Paiskim, that's anathema. That's not the way you follow halacha. You don't go take a pasuk and read it twice. You read the parasha, it's either one way or another. Make up your mind. Decide. Is it Zecher? Timcha es Zecher Amalek? Or is it Timcha es Zecher Amalek? You have a tradition? Do you have a tradition? Do you have a Messiah? How did your grandfather do it? That's how your grandfather did it? That's it. Don't try to be more religious than your predecessors and try to accommodate everyone. Everyone should be happy. That's not an approach to halacha. The Mishnah Berurah, that's not his approach. The Mishnah Berurah is a bal halacha. He's mamish the Pesek Hadar. He's become in this generation, and his approach initially filters down into society. I'm not talking lahavdil elif alfei avdolos. You look at politics. Politics also. There are certain politicians whose approach is you're right, you're right, you're right.
You're right. Too.
Everyone is right. And there are certain approaches in politics where you see no. I'm taking a strong position on this matter, even if it will cost me my political career. You know, it's a certain personality. It's a certain personality in the way
you
live.
What do we attribute that to?
The Chofetz Chaim? Why he was like that? It was his personality.
No, why did the Olam accept now that it's so?
It's hashkocha min hashamayim. You can't attribute it to anything.
I'm trying to think when
you cannot. Maybe it's because people were looking for something new. You know,
most of the rabbanim who came to America were lutvaks. They were very few Hasidim. There were maybe two Hasidish rebbes at the really.
Why do you say that?
They were. Who did you have to see them before the war?
I don't know. For whatever reason, the shift has. It's already. The battle is over. The Mishnah Berurah won. We live in a generation today where the Mishnah Berurah is the Pesach Hadar. That's how it is. And it's interesting that it influenced our thinking because we're also trying to accommodate as many opinions. You see people, they're very obsessed. They'll do like this.
It's like the Gemara.
Because that's the approach of the Mishnah Berurah. It's like the melting pot. America, it's the melting pot. Everyone can be the president. Anyone can do whatever you want. Anyone can be the Gadol Hadar today. It's true. You know, it's true. That's what it is. Today, anyone can be the Gadol Hadar. That's really the attitude everyone has. It used to be years ago. To be a Rav, I'm not right to be a Rav. To be a Rav, you need to have be a Meyuchas, you need A, B, C, D. Today, anyone can be a Rosh Hashiva. Anyone can be, you just need money. You just need money, and you're Rosh Hashiva. And you don't have the money? Don't worry, there's a solution to that also. Yeah.
According to Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi's, if the guy puts on the other guy's tefillin and bid together at the Yotzel, or it's
not dependent on them. It's not dependent, if you'll ask Rashi, it's dependent on halacha b'zman hazeh. Halacha b'zman hazeh, if you put on Rabbeinu Tam, you're not Yotzel. The halacha is k'rabein k'rashi. Therefore, if you put on a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin today, you go and you don't wear Rashi, you're begeder a karkafta deloy monach tefillin. You're not yotze. You have to wear Rashi, period. There. Okay, now let's go discuss some of things. Now, the tour, now by the way, let's just go through as much as we can. The Rosh and the tour tell us that the Go'oinim, okay, the Go'oinim come before, they follow after the Gemara, the Chasimas HaTalmud. Right, you have the Tanoim, the Amoroim, and then you have the Rabbanan Savaroi, and then come the Go'oinim. They were mamash the Chasima, the tail end of the Chasima of the Talmud. They paskin, all were unanimous, that the Iker opinion is Rabbeinu Tam. Here's such a thing? That's what the Torah says. Hator similar medal kosk. Koisim, derav high goin, derav shereiro goin, notu kirabenu tam. Avol, the problem is the Kesef Mishnah. That's the base Yosef. Okay, wrote a parish on the Rambam.
Tam came much later than Goinim.
No, Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbeinu.
No, it's after Rashi.
Right. You're right. I'm sorry. But so they mean as far. So they mean is in like what Rabbeinu Tam. Like we, it's just a term. Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi are the ones who put in words the order of the parashios. But we have a tradition that this dispute really goes back from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even we have a legacy that even the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they put on tefillin, there were two different types of tefillin. This is what we would call Rashi and what we would call Rabbeinu Tam. Obviously, they didn't call it that because Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam did not exist. So this machlokes goes back even to the time of the Goinim. The Goinim was what type of tefillin did the Goinim wear? The Goinim also had they wrote the Gemara. Okay, Ravina and Ravashi were Amoraim, but it's all during the Tkufa, you know, all that same Tkufa. So when they wrote the Gemara, Halacha l'maisa, what did their tefillin look like? If we were to open up the tefillin of the Goinim, how would the parashios be arranged? Would the parashios be arranged the way what we call Rashi, what we call Rabbeinu Tam? So the Tur, who's much later, obviously, came much later, says that if you were to open up the tefillin of the Goinim, you would discover that they were arranged like the way Rabbeinu Tam reads Pshat in the Gemara. Shkadesh, v'yoki v'yacha, v'hoyoyim shamaya, and then Shema. However, the Beis Yosef, the Kesef Mishnah says, well, guess what? We have in our possession the tefillin of, it brings down from the Rambam, that the Chachmei Lo Nil, I guess these were people who lived before the Rambam, so dealing with the time of the Rishonim, which is the late Rishonim, after Rabbeinu Tam, Ki HaGo'enim Pasu HaTfilin, they have in their possession, this is what the Kesef Mishnah writes, that somehow we know for a fact we have or they had in their possession the actual tefillin that was worn regularly on a daily basis by Rav Haigoin, the one who the Rosh and the Tor claim Paskin like the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, and they opened it up, and guess what kind of tefillin they he wore? Rashi. Rashi. So, oh, we get to that. So it comes out over here, we got a problem. Okay, so we got over here a stira. Mitzad Echad, the Tor and the Rosh is telling us that the Goinim Paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, Al Shem HaOsit, because they didn't even come around yet, right? Like Rabbeinu Tam. Yet, go to the museum and look at the tefillin of Rav Haigoin. They were like Rashi.
They
not
didn't
like
find a second
what?
They didn't find a second.
Okay, they don't talk like that. The where they do talk like that is Yecheskel. We're learning Sefer Yecheskel, so it seems that we know where Yecheskel is buried in Bavel. But Yecheskel, do we know today where he's buried? I don't know if we still know where he's buried. Somewhere in Iraq, Iran. I don't know where he's buried in Iraq somewhere. So it seems at one point in time they knew where he was buried, and on the Kevet it was a big tzion, and it collapsed. Like you hear it today every so often. You hear it so often that some of these tzionim, they collapse. And when it collapsed, it was exposed tefillin. And the tefillin, they opened it up, was like Rabbeinu Tam. So if you want to go back to tefillin that were worn during the time of the Nevi'im, that's way, way back. Okay, we're going back to Yecheskel. We're going back.
Why did they bury the tefillin with?
What? Us. They say, it's not a raya. You want to make a raya from 2,000 years ago?
Huh?
More, you want to bring a raya from.
Was
you want to bring a raya from something 2,500 years ago? Is exactly. The reason why it was buried was because it was puzzle. They put it in Geniza. You can't bring a raya like from the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can't bring a raya. We don't know why they were put there. They were,
well, those people, who know what they
are. We don't know. They were put there. Why, Bavel, we don't know. You can't bring any rayas from artifacts. You can't bring any raya. Okay, so we have tradition. Halacha l'mayis, like Rav Moshe says, afilu yovel yaliyahu. Halacha has rules. Ein shaymin lo. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Halacha l'mayis, we paskin.
By the way, the supposed tomb of Yecheskel is in Iraq, in the southeast, near Najaf.
Near where?
Near Najaf. You've heard of it.
No, I never heard of it. Where is it? Do they have oil there? Do they have oil in there?
No, well, it's possible. The southeast. It's only the Euphrates.
Okay, now let's go. Halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, we mentioned over here. We mentioned halacha l'maisa. We follow the sheet now, but there's another thing. There was a maisa. There's a famous maisa. I've heard this once before. The smag. The sefer mitzvahs gadol. Paskins like Rashi, and that's the bottom line. The bottom line is Rashi. There was a maisa. Rabbeinu Hutam himself. This is a famous maisa. He was shoyl b'chaloyim. Here, Rabbi Yisai. Rabbeinu Tam himself, he went to sleep. He was mispalel before he made a sheilas chaloyim to ask from the bezin shalmaila, who do we paskin like? Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam himself asking Shemayim, who's right? And they told him in Shemayim, Rashi. Rashi. Now, the truth is, Divrei Torah, we're not samech on a chaloyim, on a baskol, we don't follow. Those are controversial. Do we not? But Orach HaShulchan, okay, we're learning Orach HaShulchan. So Orach HaShulchan writes, Davi ki'ilu baskol yotza da halacha kirashi. It seems like the Orach HaShulchan does rely upon supernatural sources for halachic decisions.
It doesn't have to be. Rabbeinu Tam was a miracle of the daughter of Rashi, right?
Yeah.
And the daughters of Rashi wore tefillin.
So
they didn't wear Rabbeinu Tam, they wore Rashi.
We don't know what they wore. Maybe Lahachis. Maybe Lahachis they wore Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Right? Maybe Lahachis they wore.
What did Rabbeinu Tam do? Did he change?
What?
Rabbeinu Tam after the Chaloyim.
I guess so. I guess he had to. I don't know. It doesn't say what he did. Okay, by the way, by their
chal.
Here, Rabbi said, if you want to, I'll tell you a very good vart. Rabbi said, please, I'll tell you a good vart. Why Taku did Rashi's daughters wear tefillin? I told this to you once before. Why did Michal Bas Shohu wear tefillin? What? She had to wear tefillin. What does she need this for? Right? What do you need to get into trouble for with the media? Why? So I once saw an unbelievable vart. It's a peladik of art. Unbelievable. What's the vart? That the Chazal tells that Michal Bashal was one of the most beautiful women in the world. And she had a problem. Problem was when she walked in the street, the men dropped like flies. They were mostly Zera, they were mostly Kerry. They became Tame. When she walked in the street, it was a sakana, literally a sakana for men. That's what it says in the Chazal. This is what it says in the Chazal. So what did she do? Very simple solution. She put on tefillin. Why did that solve the problem? V'rohu kol ameh ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimecha. It instills Yira Shemayim. The tefillin was the antidote to her yoifi. To her yoifi. The shem Hashem, the Yira Shemayim that emanated from her tefillin, it calmed, it gave the people who saw her the fortitude to overcome their Yetzirah, not to be nichshol in hirhurim and in worse. That's why she wore tefillin, and possibly the same thing was true for Rashi's daughters. That's why they wore a whole new twist on why these dashim wore tefillin. Okay, I don't know, Rabbi Kefi always says, he always says on his tape, he always says that, he always, psak halacha, that he teaches girls. He was very big. Now I don't think he teaches any more girls. But in his career, his long career of teaching, he must have taught thousands of seminary girls. And he had every type you can possibly imagine. And he has girls that came to him, they were tevea, they want to wear tefillin. So he always says, he told them, good, but do it b'tzina. If you wanted to, you feel the need to wear tefillin, you can do it. And he's an orthodox. We're talking over here, you know, what? You can do it, but do it b'tzina. Don't go be mefarsim that you're doing it. Don't let anyone know. There's nothing technically wrong with in Isha. It says in the Ramah, we all know not that Nashim do not wear tefillin, but it's not technically, there's no technical issur, but it at least, no one should know about it. And that's the point he always makes. Okay, let's go further.
Do we know women putting on Rabbeinu Tam?
Did they wear Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah.
What, did these girls wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin?
Yeah,
they Tam.
Who knows? The same way they were Rashi. Probably Rabbeinu Tam.
I've seen father putting on two pairs at the same time.
Okay, we're going to come there. Okay, let's go for it. Okay, now, here's an important psak halacha. Rav Shmuel woes the paskins that a person should not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin before Rashi. That's a zilzal. Okay, it could happen. A person comes to shul, and for whatever reason, let's say Rabbeinu Tam, he has an opportunity to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, it's not right. You don't wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin before you put on Rashi tefillin. Suppose a person has both. He comes early to davening. After davening, he puts on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. So now, why should I waste my time now? I want to leave the moment davening is over. I'll chaparai now. I'll put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin now and say whatever I'm going to say. And then I'll put on the Rashi. So when davening is over, I can run away right away. That is incorrect. You're not supposed to put on Rabbeinu Tam till before you put on Rashi. By the way, you don't make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam Tolan. You never make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam Tolan. There is, I never knew this very bizarre thing, that there is such a thing like Hasidim, that, you know, people, you know, you daven, you forget yourself. You say bracha, so you shouldn't say, when you daven, you're not thinking properly, you do things that are strange. If it ever happens that by mistake, people who put on Rabbeinu Tam Tolan every single day, occasionally it could happen, think about this, you by mistake make a bracha. Right, by mistake. I put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin every single day. I'm thinking about, I got to go to work in 5 minutes. I got this in my head, I got this problem, that problem. I got to go to the shir. I'm late for the shir. Put Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And I put on, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kedem Melchum Asher, Kedushan, B'mitzvah, Yisrael, Loniach tefillin. What did I just do? It's a bracha levatola. I made a bracha levatola. I get out on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. It's not necessarily a bracha levatola. I put on tefillin. Halacha l'maisa, we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. We paskin like Rashi. So you make a bracha on Rashi, and you don't make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. But if you make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, there is no one in the world that can tell you made a bracha levatala. You don't say Baruch Shem Kol Malchuso Li'olam Moed because Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin are legitimate. Yeshami Lismech, they're real Tefillin. A day that a person by mistake on authentic what?
Another bracha on Rashi when you put it on Rashi
after. Definitely. The person does the wrong thing. He puts Rabbeinu Tam and then puts on Rashi. You definitely must make a bracha on Rashi. But let's say you made it. But let's say the right way. You make a bracha on Rashi, and then you before you leave shul, you make a Rabbeinu Tam, and by mistake you make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. So l'chayra chalisha sadas bracha levatola. No, there's no chalisha sadas. You made a bracha. It was a mistake. Don't ever dare do this again. But if you make a legitimate mistake, you get caught up. By Hasidim, I never heard such a thing. Maybe I'm wrong, but this way they tell me, if that ever happens to a person, and it is 100% an accident. And for good reason, not because a person is not, well, the person is so far trach, he doesn't know what he's doing, that's terrible. A person's a good person, a thinking person, and he's doubting the kavana, and he just made a real honest mistake. It's mamish a yomtif. It's a day, it's like this day for me is a mesugel for great things. If Ashkocha Protis had it, that by mistake, as a pella, by mistake, I made a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, because Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, the Olam of Kabbalah, represents big, big, big things, which we're not shayich to. We're not fit for. Most of us don't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin. People supposedly who are very holy people, they wear Rabbeinu Tam. But even they wouldn't go so far to make a bracha. And if you made a bracha, that means you've hit the jackpot. You've hit the jackpot. Someone told me that Rabbi Shur of Avraham Shur, he once spoke by us, he's a very holy person. He's a holy person. You know, no question. I mean, you see him. He's scary. I'm scared of him. He's a holy person. So one day he walked into his shul and he told his olam, you know what happened to me today? I made a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin. And he was visibly excited. He was visibly excited that this happened to him. Okay, so
no. So
to me, okay, all this to me doesn't make, you know, I don't know what this is all about, but I just saying this over for, I find this to be very, very interesting, very, very fascinating, these type of things. Okay, let's go further. What? That's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that you should not do so until you finish after Kaddish Yosem. It's not right to do during Chazaras Hashatz. You see, everyone
many
people do this.
Many do it.
Many do it. Many people do things that are shloikidin. Many people talk Lashon Hara. Many people talk Rechilis. Many people talk during davening. Many people are not nizer in Shvich Hasdamim.
Can you compare that? You can't compare that.
Shulchan Aruch says you should put it on after
okay.
And because you get a kedusha in both tefillin.
Okay,
you know,
I'll tell you
that.
Something very bizarre. I was really shaken up this Mitzvah Shabbos. This Mitzvah Shabbos, I come to Shul, I got in the main, in a small minion, a little teeny minion, we have barely a minion, but since some 10 people, and we say there, Baruch Hashem li olam amen v'yamen. And the truth is probably most people there who come to this minyan don't say it. They don't say it. But the minyan is that the shot says it. Because that's the minyan hamakom. The minyan hamakom is the shot says it. So I usually end up davening, Baruch Hashem, I usually end up davening Mitzvah Shabbos because no one else wants to daven. So someone comes there, he never comes. He says he has Yahrzeit for his grandfather. If you can daven Ma'ariv. Of course, it's a Shiloh, there's no Chiyuv here. So then he says, but you know, what is the Minig Ha'olam here to say Baruch Hashem Li'olam? I'm just like a regular guy. To my eyes, he's a regular guy. I don't know. You know, you're always full of surprise in this world, right? And he says, they say Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amin V'Yamein. So I say, yeah, we say it here. I said, most people here don't say it. But you know, Minig Ha'olam, what am I going to tell you? That's what you have to do. You have to say it. So he says, you know, I don't say it. I don't want to say it. You know, and So maybe when I come to that part of davening, you say it. You stand there and you say it, and you finish off the bracha. So I say to him, what do you want from me? I says, you don't want to say it. So I see some of these guys, I see what they do sometimes. You don't want to say it, so just pause. Just pause. And then just say yiskada. So he says, yeah, but I don't want to be deny the oilam, the amen. So I'm looking at him and I'm saying, don't worry, here they're not so machped. They're not so machped on the amen. I said, don't worry about it. So he goes. He says, I say to him. So he says, but he doesn't want to do that either because it's such a hefsek between the end. And then I say to him.
You have to
shout
with him.
I say to him.
So much time with him.
Really, you're such a religious person. That it bothers you so much. I said, no, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I told him, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he never said, Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'yamen. No. But when he davened, he didn't. That's what it says. We learned that. But when he davened for the Amud, Rav Moshe, it says that he said it. The minig hamakom. He said it. So I said, you're such a religious person that it pains you so much to say, Baruch Hashem li'olam, it's like you consider it to be a hefsek. Like, come on, like, who are you? Like, who do you think you are? You're just an average Joe, like all of us. It's such a torture for you to say, Baruch Hashem, like, where are your priorities? Like, people's priorities are so... Everyone, he said it. I shamed him into saying it. But like, it was just so shocking to me that people's priorities are just so off. In this society, it's like in his eyes, it was the biggest churban. The world will literally come to an end to say, Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'yamein. And when I know this fellow, when it comes to other things, he's no more machmir and halacha than me. So, where are you coming from over here? Okay. Any event, let's go to, how was I getting to over here with Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? Here's another very interesting thing over here. The Chofetz Chaim. Did the Chofetz Chaim, there's a fascinating insight here to the Chofetz Chaim. Did the Chofetz Chaim wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? Okay, please, Rabbeinu. Did the Chofetz Chaim wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? So he's, what? He was a Liva. So it says over here in the footnote, you wouldn't find this anywhere else but in this Sefer. This Sefer is like mamish, the NSA file on every Gadol. I'm telling you, unbelievable. He goes through the Gedolim, he has secrets here, like no one else knows about these Gedolim. And he says here that the Chofetz Chaim started putting off, this is very controversial I'm telling you over here, this is like, people not, they would censor the book just for this. The Chofetz Chaim began to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin b'Soif Yamav when it was revealed, they published a Yerushalmi on Kutchin. It came to print. It was discovered in Geniza, supposedly a Yerushalmi, and the Luyish fellow he put on the Yerushalmi on Kutchin. And there in this Yerushalmi there was a Shita. The Chofetz Chaim studied the Yerushalmi and he found there a Shita, one of the Amoraim in this Yerushalmi, that said like the Shita of was Mashm, like Rabbeinu Tam. So the Chofetz Chaim was all excited. He found this Yerushalmi that just came to light, Yotzei La'or, like Rabbeinu Tam. So he began to put on tefillin. It was later discovered that this Yerushalmi was a fraud. Was a fraud. There was an Elusha fellow who was looking for a Parnas to make a couple bucks and to make a name for himself. He wrote his own Yerushalmi and he went and he put together, he made up the whole thing for me. The whole thing was a Bubba Mice. He made it all in the beginning to end. And he fooled the Chofetz Chaim. Here is a story. At you tell him the Chofetz Chaim, Ruach HaKodesh, right? Ruach HaKodesh that would be able to see through the fraud. The Chofetz Chaim was fooled at Kidei Kach that he put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin because of what he found in this Yerushalmi. And then when they discovered the fraud, the Chofetz Chaim says, once already I've started, I'm not going to stop. Had I known it was a fraud, I would never have put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. But once already I was fooled, and I put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, I'm not going to stop yet. I'll just tell you an interesting story. I don't believe this story is true, but I saw this in a very authentic Sefer. I still don't believe the story, but I'll tell you it anyway, just to go with the Zruch HaKodesh. B'Sof Yamav, he had a Talmud, he had a little yeshiva in Rav. It was a very small yeshiva. Few Talmudim. And there was a Talmud that sat in his house when he was very old, that was Meshameshim, that sat with him the whole day. Whatever, you know, they took turns being Meshameshim. And when you Meshameshim, did nothing. You just sat there in the house, you looked at the walls, and the Chofetz Chaim didn't hound you. How come you're not learning? How come you're not learning? You just sat around. If there was a television, you would watch television. Okay? You did nothing. You just sat around on your cell phone and you would text. What would you do there in his house? So this Talmud was very frustrated. He got to this, I can't believe this. I traveled all the way from my hometown. I left my parents to come and learn in the yeshiva. For this, to sit here in the house here with an old man. I mean, Meshamish, an old man, to sit here and take care of an old man. And Chofetz Chaim, no one really fully was appreciated who the Chofetz Chaim was. That's a fact. Yeah, Chofetz Chaim was so humble, he made nothing out of himself.
He had a rabbi.
Made nothing out of himself. Here I am, I'm sitting here, I came all the way to learn the yeshiva, so I'm learning about smad, to learn a masecht, another masecht. I'm not learning, I'm just battling away. My whole tafkid here is to go and bring him tea, water, and take him back and forth, to hold the sin, and take him to the Beis HaKiseh back. That's what I came here for. Rav Chaim was, that's the machshava that was oil in the machshava of this Talmud, this teenager. And the Chofetz Chaim, this right at the end of his, the Chofetz Chaim's life, was sitting at the other end of the room, and he was learning, and he picks up his head, this authentic Sefer, which I told you, I challenge it if it's really true, but the Sefer is a good Sefer, with really good stories. Picks up and says, it takes a lot of zechusim to be zoiche, to be meshamesh, the Chofetz Chaim. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said about himself. Told the Talmud. don't complain here. You're sitting in mishamish me. You know who I am. You know the schus you have here to be mishamish me. So the Chofetz Chaim made of himself a nothing, but at times he let it be known. It takes a lot of schusim to be zoichet to be mishamish the Chofetz Chaim. Yet the Chofetz Chaim said he put on tefillin. He was fooled by the Yerushalmi. But he continued even after it was revealed before. All right, we'll continue tomorrow.